Hello and welcome to the 131st edition of the Atlanta Man Podcast. I'm Ryan Rogers. Episode 131 today, that is the same exact number of career runs scored by Braves utility man Luke Williams. He has scored 131 times in his big league career. So we'll start the episode off on that note. A Luke Williams shout out for the 131 times he has scored, the same number of Atlanta Man Podcast to have happened. So now that I got that off my chest, let's dive right in to the meat and potatoes of this thing. The Braves might be back. They might be. They did lose today to the Tampa Bay Rays as the Rays salvage the best of three series this weekend with the Braves. Braves took the first two on Friday and Saturday, and they drop a kind of frustrating one today to not sweep the Rays. But the main focus of this episode and this series was that the Braves have finally started hitting again. They have scored six runs in now four straight games, dating back to the final game against Baltimore, where they won 6-3. They won 7-3 on Friday. They won 9-2 on Saturday. They lose 8-6 on Sunday. And that is very relevant because the Braves had about a six-week stretch of being one of, if not the worst offense in baseball, at least results-wise. If you took a peek under the hood, the Braves are still hitting the baseball very hard and just not getting much results. But it looks like they're coming out of the end of the tunnel with that. They mashed this weekend against the Rays. Riley homered in all three games. He had kind of been the poster child of the horrible Braves offense, as he had struggled tremendously, but he homers in all three games this weekend. Jarred Kelenic, who is now the leadoff hitter for the Atlanta Braves, hit two homers this weekend. Ozuna homered, of course. Matt Olson homered. Travis d'Arnaud homered. They finally started to hit again, and it's a great thing to see because the offense was purely dreadful for 6 weeks, and the Braves have actually gotten into a pretty big hole in the division because of that, because the amazing starts every night stopped coming, which naturally was going to happen. You weren't going to get seven shutout innings every night. They still do get it fairly regularly, but you're not going to get that every single night. The starting pitching has still been very good, however, but that was just an unsustainable run of things with Freed, Sale, Lopez, even Charlie Morton at times just shoving every night. Yeah, I think the Braves have finally got out of this rut. The worst offensive stretch I've seen by the Braves since they got good again back in 2018. I have never seen anything this bad, especially from a team that had the greatest offense ever last year and had a slugging percentage over 500 and tied the MLB record for home runs in a season. So it is very, very encouraging. That's the headliner here, is that the Braves have started to hit again. On the other hand, there are still some things that are going wrong with this team, one of which is they keep getting hurt. Michael Harris got hurt on Friday, grade 2 hamstring strain. And I'm not a doctor, but from the looks of it, he's going to be out for a while. I think at the bare minimum, he's going to miss a month. So that's not good, considering the outfield was already in disarray with Ronnie being out for the season. AJ Minter's on the IL right now, dealing with some stuff, so the bullpen's a bit shorthanded. We know all the injuries the Braves have suffered this year. I mean, Murphy had gotten hurt, Riley had gotten hurt, Ozzie had gotten hurt, Acuna's out for the year, Strider's out for the year, Minter's hurt now, Harris is hurt now, AJ Smith-Shopper's hurt. Like, they have, the injury luck has done a complete 180, especially on the position player side. The Braves last year did not get hurt at all, position player-wise. No one got hurt. I think Ozzie had, like, one stint on the 15-day IL. He missed a couple weeks, like, in September. But even that was like, if the Braves had to have Ozzie in those games, I think he would have been playing. It was just more of a precautionary thing. But I'm about to read out like the Braves' number of games that they played as a position player unit. Matt Olson played 162. Ozzie played 148. Arcia played 139. Riley played 159. Eddie Rosario played 142. Michael Harris played 138. Ronald Acuna played 159. Marcelo Zuna played 144. And Sean Murphy played 108. And Travis Darno played 74. So, like, no one got hurt last year for a long period of time at all. You know, besides the catchers, it's crazy, but, you know, the catching positions, obviously, you're going to split time there. But of just the everyday guys, the fewest amount of games played by a Braves regular was 138 from Michael Harris. And he had, like, a short injury stint at the beginning of last year. But if your fewest amount of games played by one of your starters is 138, that is crazy. You know, and even with the Rosario Pilar platoon last year, Eddie played 142 because they just never saw lefties. So he started a majority of those games. Like, the injury luck last year was ridiculous, and now you flip the page over to this year, and it is, you know, it's horrible. Acuna getting hurt. Yeah, I already listed all the injuries. I don't need to list the injuries again that have happened, but you get the picture. They have been battered this season. And, yeah, that's only going to get worse now that Harris is out. There's going to be even more of a revolving door in the outfield than we already have had. Like, since Acuna's gotten hurt, it's been, you know, some J.P. Martinez, some Brian Anderson. Now we're throwing Ramon Laureano into the mix. So it is going to be interesting to see how things play out. And I guess that's going to segue me into my next topic of discussion. This is kind of, you know, focused around the game today, because it is fresh on the mind, and it was kind of a frustrating loss that the Braves suffered. Now that this team is more, I mean, I guess more flexible, than everybody's heard, but more flexible for, you know, matchups and things of that nature, Brian Snitker has to use whoever's not catching that day as a pinch hitter. He has to, whether it's for, you know, like for example, today, in the ninth inning, Ramon Laureano starts the game tonight. In the ninth inning, they bring in J.P. Martinez to pinch hit for him. I like J.P. Martinez fine. He could be a totally useful player on a baseball team. He should not be pinch hitting over Sean Murphy ever. You know, I know Sean Murphy's had a rough start to the season. I mean, he got hurt in the first game of the season, and now he's just now coming back, and he hasn't been great through his first 14 games or whatever. But he's still a good baseball player and a good hitter. Like, he's going to figure it out. I'm pretty confident in saying that. Like, J.P. Martinez is not going to be pinch hitting when you have Sean Murphy available on the bench, as long as he's healthy. And, you know, it didn't help J.P. Martinez striking out on three pitches in the ninth inning today. But that's a situation where you just have to use that catcher, that second catcher. And, like, it's been a thing with Snit. Even, I mean, this is a long time ago, but Bobby Cox would never do this either. He would never use the backup catcher. And it just kind of, it boggles my mind a little bit because, you know, coming into 2023, before Marcelo Zuna, you know, became, you know, one of the best hitters in the league again, the plan was whoever's not catching is going to DH. And Snit seemed to be fine with that at the beginning of last year, having, you know, Darno DH when Murphy's catching and vice versa. And now all of a sudden, neither of those guys ever pinch hit ever. And it kind of, it is very frustrating to me. Even another example of a guy that needs to be pinch hit for, Orlando Arcia came up in a key spot today. He struck out on three pitches too, which doesn't help things. But, you know, that's another thing or another situation where you could use Sean Murphy. You have Zach Short on the bench. He can play shortstop. That's why he's on the team, to be the backup shortstop. He can come in and, you know, play three innings, no problem. But no, they don't do that. Even in the ninth inning today, Arcia drew a leadoff walk. But that's another situation. Like, come on. Give me Sean Murphy over Arcia. Orlando Arcia has been one of the worst hitters in baseball for a month and a half now. He's been terrible. And I guess that's a whole nother thing I could talk about here. Orlando Arcia, I mean, his numbers in the year are ugly. A 74 OPS plus coming in today. That only got worse. I guess I can pull up his fan graph so I can get updated stats. But he has been horrendous. Like, just bona fide terrible at the plate. Like this year, these are updated numbers. These are updated numbers. A 71 WRC plus this year. His OBP is 253. That is just shockingly bad. You know, his walk rate is in the cellar right now. He's walking in just 4% of his plate appearances. This doesn't help anything. This doesn't help Arcia at all that Nacho Alvarez, you know, the Braves' best position player prospect, just got called to AAA and is out of his mind at AAA right now. And he is also a very good defender at shortstop. And that's kind of the one thing Arcia can hang his hat on right now is his defense. And his defense has been great this year. There's no denying that. He has been very, very good defensively. But there does become a point where you have to hit, you know, at least a little bit, man. And he just hasn't done that. I'm trying to pull up like a span of like how bad he has been. Like, I'm just going to bring up, let's say, when did he start just being god awful? Let's say April 28th until now. I'm about to tell you his numbers from April 28th to now. Just bear with me. I know this is great podcasting, but hold on one second. From April 28th to today, Orlando Arcia has a 37 WRC plus. He's batting 174, a 201 on base percentage. He's walking in 3.7% of his at bats. He has 164 plate appearances in that time frame. Like, it has been very, very bad for him. And I don't think they're gonna do anything this soon into the season as far as benching Arcia and maybe getting Alvarez up. I think they want to give Alvarez more time in AAA, but like it's coming. If something doesn't change, it's coming, because he has completely reverted back to the guy that he was, you know, at the end of his stint in Milwaukee. He's been horrible. So that is another thing. That's another issue the Braves are dealing with right now. What's another issue? Oh, the other issue is the six-man rotation they've been running. Hurston Waldrop, I like Hurston Waldrop. He's an exciting prospect. He is, you know, maybe the best prospect the Braves have right now, but he is just not a big league pitcher right now. He got shelled today against the Rays. He got shelled last Sunday against the Nationals. He's given up like 12, I don't have the numbers in front of me, like 12 earned runs, 13 earned runs in six innings or something. Like, he has been very bad, not great control, not striking out a ton of guys like he was in the minors. And he's just not ready, and that's fine. He's a very young guy. He's 22 years old. He got sent back down today to Gwinnett after the start. I don't know if they're going to continue with the six-man rotation, or if this might be the end of it, and maybe they'll pick it back up in a couple weeks with a different guy. Because Spencer Schwellenbach had a good start against the Orioles, so he's going to stick around. But, he's just not ready, and that's fine. Not everyone's going to come up to the big leagues and, you know, just slot right in as a rotation pitcher. Like, it's just not that easy, even though, you know, the Braves have had some prospect success in the past. Not everybody's just going to come up, you know, guns a-blazing like some other guys have. So Waldrop's back down to Gwinnett, and we might see him again later this season, but I have a feeling he's going to be down there for a while, figuring things out, just getting more comfortable, figuring some out, pitch stuff out, mechanics, what have you, anything like that. We'll see what's up with him. Another issue the Braves are dealing with is that they are still pretty far back in the NL East. They were 10 games back. They did gain 2 games over the weekend from the Phillies. They are now only 8 games back, which that is something that they have chopped it down a couple of games in the past few days. Even on Thursday when they won, the Phillies lost, so they've been able to make up some ground for sure. They have a 19.2% chance to win the division according to Fangraphs, giving the Phillies an 80.2% chance. That's fair for sure. Like, I would not pick the Braves to win the division right now, but they could do this. They could catch the Phillies. I wouldn't predict that, but they definitely could. They have a fair amount of games against Philadelphia left. I believe they have 10 games left with the Phillies. They played them that first series of the year, and they don't play the Phillies again until the weekend after the 4th of July. So they have 1, 2, 3 against the Phillies there. Let's do some counting. 3, 6, 10. Yeah, so they have 10 games left against Philadelphia. Those will be big ones, obviously, to try to track them down and, you know, win this division for the 7th straight year. But, you know, I feel better about their chances than I did a few days ago for sure, just because they have gained a couple of games in the past few days and because they're just playing better generally. They're hitting again, which is a huge thing. This team has to mash. Like, this is what they're built around. They're built around hitting home runs. They aren't like a speedy, athletic, contact-oriented team like, you know, Cleveland or something like that. They're built to mash, and, you know, and let me tell you something. The athleticism and quickness is zapped from this team without Ronald or Michael Harris playing right now. They are a bunch of slow pokes who need to hit home runs, and that's what they're going to have to do, and that's what they did this weekend. And if they do that, you know, they've scored at least 6 runs 4 games in a row. That's what they did last year, and they had plenty of pitching issues last year, and they absolutely sailed to the division. If they can hit, you know, even close to the level that they did last year, they're going to win a lot of games, and they will definitely have a chance to win this division again. I'm fairly confident in saying that for sure. So, I wouldn't pick the Braves to win, but could they do it? Absolutely, they could. They got 10 games left against them. It's a long season. The clock just turned midnight. It's June 17th. They can do this. They're a very talented team. Are they shorthanded? Yes. Do they need to get healthy? Yes. They need Michael Harris. They need AJ Minter. They need to trade for some outfielders and starting pitchers too. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing. It'll be interesting to see if they try to strike on an outfielder quick here with, you know, Harris could miss maybe 2 months here. You know, do you really want to run Adam Duvall out against a right-handed pitcher every time when he's OPSing like 300 against them? Do you really want to have Ramon Laureano as your everyday right fielder? You know, good thing Jared Kelnick has heated up. He has helped out quite a bit the past few days. He has hit the ball well and has been one of the guys that, you know, has at least kind of steadily contributed, you know, here and there when the team was going through their horrific stretch. So he's kind of bailed them out in that sense. But, yeah, they're banged up, man. And, we're gonna see what happens for sure. But starting pitching has still been really good. You know, Chris Sale, 2.98 ERA on the year, 81.2 innings, 99 strikeouts. He has a 2.33 FIP. He has been great. Renato Lopez is the MLB ERA leader, 1.69. Charlie Morton had a great start against the Rays on Saturday. His ERA is down to 3.91. That's perfectly fine. Max Fried's rocking a 3.2 with a 3.38 FIP, and you know, he's Max Fried. He's pitching very well. The bullpen's solid. They need Minter back for sure, but the bullpen has been good. Iglesias had a rough one today, but, you know, him, Jimenez, Pierce Johnson, Aaron Bummer, Dylan Lee, Jesse Chavez have been good. So, we are good on pitching. We do need another starter for sure. Or they need another starter, not we, I'm on the team. But they need another starter, 100%. Maybe even 2, just to give them some depth, because they are now an injury away from, you know, if the season ends today, they are an injury away from having an undesirable game 4 starter in a division series. So, before I sign out, I do want to kind of talk about Chris Sale some more. He's 5th in all of baseball in Fangraphs WAR. FIP wise, he is 2nd. XFIP, he is 4th. Straight up ERA, a little bit lower. Renato Lopez is number 1, though, so shout out to him. But he's 15th in regular ERA. Expected ERA, a little lower. He's kind of low on this. Chris Sale's been great. He has been, you know, he's 6, actually. I just skipped over on the page. That's my fault. He's 6. I mean, he's top 10 in everything. You know, what is his walk rate is extremely low. He's 4th in that, like, not giving up homers. He is very low in that, also 11th in the league, in all of baseball. You know, he has been a top five pitcher in baseball this season. You know, and that is not an exaggeration. He has been, and pretty much every statistic you could look at, he has been that good. So shout out to Chris Sale. He has been a lifesaver, and yeah, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like I said, same with Lopez. He is not a 1.69 ERA guy. I'm pretty confident saying that. But he's not just, this isn't like Bryce Elder last year, you know, where he was kind of faking it. Like Renato Lopez has a 2.83 FIP and he's striking out 9.1 guys per nine innings. You know, like he's not a 1.69 ERA, but he is definitely, you know, he could definitely run a ERA below three. I wouldn't be stunned with that. Like he's been very good and he's got really good stuff and he can crank it up when he needs to. Like, you know, this isn't a fluky. His expected ERA is 3.58, which even if he turns in that, that's great. His expected FIP is the same number. Like, those are really good numbers still. And, you know, his home run to fly ball rate is not sustainable, 5.4%. That is going to even out, unfortunately, at some point, because he's only given up 0.52 homers per nine. So he is, and he's getting a decent amount of ground balls, which he's always been a decent ground ball guy. But, yeah, Renato Lopez has been great. Max Fried's good. The pitching, I'm not worried about at all. They do need to add some guys, but every team does. So, yeah, I think that's it. I just wanted to hop on and, you know, kind of talk about the Braves a little bit, because for the first time in a minute, I'm excited, because these past few weeks, not even a few weeks, the past month and a half, like, the Braves games were just kind of coming and going. Like, they would lose, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course they lost, they can't hit, and I wouldn't care, because I'm like, if they're not hitting, why should I care? But now they're actually playing well, it makes me care more, it makes it more exciting, it makes it more fun. So I'm glad they are finally heating back up. They got the Tigers coming up this week, and then they go to the Bronx to face the Yankees, who have been the best team in baseball this year. So that'll be an interesting test, but, you know, take two out of three against the Tigers and, you know, head up to New York and try to, you know, try to see what you're made of with the Yankees. They have been exceptionally good this year. So, I think that'll do it. Probably do one more podcast to talk about the NBA draft before it happens. June 26th, so we're 9 days away. Hawks have number one pick. I'll hop on before then, do a little yapping about the Hawks. Some Donovan Klingon, Alex Saar, whoever talk. Maybe trading down, maybe, you know, all that good stuff. So we will take care of that soon enough. So if you made it this far listening, I really appreciate it, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you.